Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John in the Northland, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez in Overland Park. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Wednesday, hump day, May 27th, 2020. Today on the show, we'll talk to Mike Boddicker in the 7 o'clock hour. Gary Lezak will give you a forecast just before 8 o'clock. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com at 8:05. Kansas City Ruse head basketball coach Billy Donlin will be on the show for our weekly conversation at 8:30. And then former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, Nick Leckie, our good friend, will be on the show at 9:05. We've got all that. We're also here some clips like we just heard there from the NHL's commissioner, Gary Bettman, who announced some plans for the NHL. We'll also hear some reaction to that. More on the NBA from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. And we'll hear some comments from Jeff Passan, also from ESPN, on Major League Baseball and what's happening with baseball. But the NBA and Major League Baseball took a backseat to the NHL yesterday, as the NHL will abandon the rest of the regular season and go straight into the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16 if it is able to resume play, as you heard Gary Bettman talk about yesterday. Hopefully Gary Bettman is not too concerned about the integrity of the game that so many people seem to be concerned with from the different sports. The way I look at it is this: this is going to be an asterisk season for pretty much everybody. No one is going to look at these seasons the same as other seasons, because they're not. They're different. Everything's different. So why not be creative? Why not be bold? Why not come up with something entertaining? Why not come up with something different? The NHL has done that, going straight into the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16. They have agreed on the format, but the NHL Players Association has not formally approved any actual return to finish the season. The league and the Players Association will still need to figure out health and safety protocols and solve other issues, including where to play. But if you're just looking at what the perception is, it appears like they have good, solid leadership, something that Major League Baseball has been lacking. And when you're talking about perception, I think that's very important to at least give off the feeling that you know what you're doing, that you have a plan, and that you have a direction, and it's going to get done. And so I was impressed listening to Gary Bettman and reading about the NHL's plan. Hopefully we'll hear more positive news from the NBA. It looks like they're trying to be creative and they're trying to take advantage of an opportunity to get back on the court, where a lot of people would love to watch playoff basketball from the NBA, while baseball continues seemingly to shoot itself in the foot and can't get out of its own way. And so this is going to be very interesting to see how this progresses. And again, the worst possible scenario for Major League Baseball will be if the NHL figures a way to get back on the ice, the NBA figures out a way to get back on the court. We've already seen the UFC and NASCAR and some soccer return, the MLS. They give off the idea that they know what they're doing, that they have good, solid leadership. And again, Major League Baseball will end up looking terrible if everyone else can get back in action, if everyone else can get back to their sport, and Major League Baseball can't stop arguing between the owners and the players. It's going to be an awful look, and there will be significant damage to the sport if that's how this plays out. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail, and we'll actually have some common sense here from Major League Baseball leadership. But again, it does not look promising right now. They're still arguing over money. People are still listening to billionaires argue with millionaires. And I think most people that pay attention, that really care about the sport and pay close attention to the sport, are siding with the players. But there's enough people out there that are against the owners too, where it's kind of hard to tell. But I think that ownership is counting on the fact that if baseball doesn't come back, ultimately the public opinion will turn against the players because they're the front guys. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball fans that don't even know who the hell the owners are in Major League Baseball. They know who their own owner is. I don't know how many baseball fans can sit down and just rattle off owners and know who they are and know who the faces are behind the billions. But the players will be out there, and the players will take a hit, and the players will get blamed. And I think the owners know this. And so, look, I want baseball back. I'm sick of them seemingly being just spinning their wheels here, and it just feels like they're not progressing at all, especially when you compare it to what the other sports are talking about and the direction and the leadership from the other sports. And so we will continue to wait and see what happens in Major League Baseball, as there is more news to talk about. We'll talk with Mike Boddicker a little bit more about this in the 7 o'clock hour. Now you have the story at ESPN.com that the players are balking at MLB's proposal to cut salaries. And so yesterday, as Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers wrote, Major League Baseball drew the ire of the players' union Tuesday with an economic proposal that called for a significant cut in salaries that would affect all players, or particularly the game's highest paid. Sources familiar with the proposal told ESPN, the long-awaited plan, the first volley in an expected back-and-forth that will determine whether baseball returns in 2020, proposed a marginal salary structure in which the lowest-paid players would receive close to a full share of their prorated salary, and the game stars far less than expected. So players expectedly bristled at the proposal, which includes an 82-game schedule that would begin in early July after a 21-day spring training. Teams would play three exhibition games in the final week before starting a regular season that would finish September 27th. The MLB Players Association said in a statement to ESPN's Enrique Rojas, the proposal involves massive additional pay cuts, and the union is extremely disappointed. We're also far apart on health and safety protocols. And so the scale goes down as salaries go up. And so you can read more about it. I'll tweet out the story from ESPN.com. The league's proposal, which includes bonuses if postseason games are played, offers lower salary players a higher percentage of their expected wages and would give some of the game's biggest stars a fractional cut of their salaries. The formula the league offered, for example, would take a player scheduled to make the league minimum, which is $563,000. $500. $500 is important. Give him a prorated number based on 82 games, which would be $285,228, and take a 10% cut from that figure, leaving him with a salary of $256,706. And under this formula, for example, Mike Trout, who at $37,666,666 has the highest full-season salary in baseball this year, he would make $19,065,843 on a prorated basis over 82 games. He would have a base salary of just over $5.7 million, though players would be paid for only games played. Trout could make upward of $2.5 million more than the proposal if the league completes the World Series. There's a lot there to it. No one's happy. And baseball will continue the inner struggle that is playing out right now in front of the fans and the media. Nate Piketty, your thoughts about any movement that happened yesterday with Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, and everything else?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I'm going to try my best not to overreact to the volleys that go back and forth in these negotiations, because a lot of times in negotiations like this, things seem really bad and hard to picture a resolution until there is a resolution. That's unfortunately just the way that it seems to go. And it used to be the way it went a lot with baseball. They had a little stretch there of labor peace where they actually signed extensions to their collective bargaining agreement before they even got to a deadline. And wasn't that nice? It wasn't even a story. But that a lot of times isn't the case. And clearly the tone of the owners and the players, as we've talked about, they're playing against each other. They're not on the same team. They're not sitting there with the tone of saying, hey, what can we do together that's best for the sport of baseball? They're seeing who can win the negotiation. I don't think that's the best plan. I think they could do themselves a lot of good by actually trying to go at it with the tone of how can we work together on this, but that's not going to be the case. That also doesn't mean they can't work it out. I mean, I think that the first offer, a lot of times when a negotiation takes on this type of tone, is an insult. And I think that's what the owners kind of did with the players on this one. It's like, hey, this offers an insult. We know you're not going to take it, but this then sets the groundwork for us to negotiate back and forth and try to see if they'll be able to reach some sort of middle ground. And I hope that's the case. And I hope that they don't do too much damage to one another before they can get things going. One of the things I would like to encourage both the owners and the players, and I guess maybe particularly the owners on this one, is if you win the public relations battle and you make the players look really bad and you don't have baseball, is that worth the price? Because at the end of the day, those are the same guys you need to market to make people want to come watch at some point. People want to watch Mike Trout. I don't think people want to watch 4A players that are just okay. They want to watch Major League Baseball play. They want to watch the best of the best. That's what people pay money to see. And I just don't know that you're helping yourself, but I'm going on a tangent there. I'm trying not to overreact, because a lot of times early in negotiations, they're so far apart, they're never going to, they're insulted by this offer. Well, the players will come back with a counteroffer, and they'll work from here. The other thing that I would point out is the NHL. And this is just something for us to all be aware of. The NHL, who you just rightfully talked about how they seem to have a plan. They seem to be working in an organized manner towards a specific goal. I was just looking at their proposal, and it talks about not even getting into small group trainings till June, which is only a week away, but then not starting full training with full teams till July. That's just training. And then getting into the NHL Stanley Cup playoff, or whatever they want to call this situation. That does mean that Major League Baseball maybe has some time here to figure it out. I don't know how much time, but they got some time. If we're talking about all these leagues not really having much of a chance of getting going before the month of July anyway, they've got a little bit of time to try to work this out. So I hope that they do. I think that most of us would have to say you got to be less optimistic about baseball than the other sports at this point.
It's hard to compare them all, though, too.
Yeah, they're all different.
These teams are completing their seasons where baseball's trying to get off the ground. So, the perspective is what we're dealing with in terms of the common folk, us fans, people that follow the sports, how they perceive it. And, baseball's taking a black eye right now. But I think it's hard-pressed to compare the NHL to baseball. I think, if you're looking at these, it's NHL and NBA. They're kind of in the similar boats. And that, for me, that's the race right now. I mean, baseball's whatever. They have a lot to deal with. We see that. They're doing it all in front of us. right now it's NHL and NBA. Those are the two that are kind of on the similar trajectory. And how they're going to both do it is going to be the interesting thing for me to watch. And for the longest time, I thought the NBA was ahead of everybody. And it appears the NHL has just quietly been doing – we haven't heard from them. They're not on the landscape at MLB, NBA. You know, they're the next tier below the NFL and Major League Baseball and what you have it. But, I mean, you kind of raise your eyebrow at that, Nate, that here's a plan. This is the first league to have an actual plan that's been approved. That's what we're talking about now.
Well, I don't know. Is it a plan? I mean, they've scrapped the regular season. They haven't picked a city yet. They don't know what cities they would be doing it in.
Yeah, it's a plan because there's a 24-team playoff.
Yeah.
It's a plan. I mean, we don't even know what the plan is for the NBA.
Right.
Is it 1-16? Is it going to be East versus West? Is it going to be? We have no idea. All we've been doing is talking about plans.
I guess,
actually have a plan.
Yeah, and that's true. I would say though that I obviously follow the MLS situation fairly closely. They have a plan too, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're any closer to agreeing to that plan as a
back to perception.
Yeah, because
what's the perception? Who's ahead now? NHL or MLS?
But
who has a plan?
MLS has a lot of the same issues, actually, that baseball does from the standpoint that they don't have their collective bargaining agreement ratified. So they have other, they have bigger issues that they're trying to deal with as well. So
I'm saying public perception. Yeah. Public perception right now is the NHL is ahead of everybody because they came out with the plan.
Well, here's the issue that baseball has to worry about when you talk about the difference they have with NHL and NBA. Those are two winter sports that are supposed to be wrapping up their seasons right now, right? Baseball usually is just kind of getting going. It's kind of getting off the ground right about now and getting into the summer months where they kind of have center stage to themselves. Baseball is used to in American history, even since the NFL became the most popular league in the world, they're used to having the summer months pretty much to themselves. There's a few people like me that are huge soccer fans, but for the most part, soccer takes a backseat to all that stuff. So baseball is used to having center stage among the traditional American sports in the middle of the summer. If NHL and NBA get going and they don't, you're going to be looking at a summer where two winter sports take over the sports landscape and baseball takes a backseat and possibly takes a backseat to soccer for the first time maybe ever in American history. That's what's at stake for baseball, which is why I think they'll actually, Stephen, get something done. I don't know about you. At the end of the day, I just can't imagine they're going to let all of that happen to their sport. If they do, they get what they deserve.
Let's just use Kansas City as an example. If they don't get back on the field and the damage will be done by that and how pissed off fans will be, rightfully so, in Kansas City, baseball is already, and I know what happened in 2014. I know what happened in 2015. I fully aware. But with the monster that the Chiefs are, the monster that Patrick Mahomes is, something that this town has never, ever seen, and how the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes will dominate the headlines in Kansas City for the next decade, it's the Chiefs and Mahomes and everything else. Everything else pales in comparison already, even if every other sport and every other team does everything right. It's not even in the same freaking neighborhood. And if baseball does this, you know how damaging that'll be to baseball in Kansas City? This isn't... The Royals building up to a couple of years where they're championship contenders, and they took full advantage of it, but then you knew it was going to end. The Chiefs ain't going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes not going anywhere. They're going to dominate this market anyway. But if baseball screws the fans over like this and can't figure out a way to get back on the field when they have a chance to do something special and to do something that will rally the fans together instead of drive them away, the damage will be significant, especially in towns like Kansas City. because they will get swallowed up by the Mahomes monster in the NFL. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, May 27, 2020. Let's hear some comments from Jeff Passan from ESPN on SportsCenter. Here he says, everyone will take a pay cut and players are not happy.
And it turns out that all players, including the lowest paid ones, are going to be asked to take pay cuts under this proposal. But it would be on a sliding scale where the highest paid players would take the most significant cuts. It was the first volley in what's expected to be a back and forth between MLB and the Players Association. And let me tell you, it's one that the players are not happy with at this point. They were hoping not for MLB to come to them and say, yes, we're going to give you your full prorated salary as they would hope for, but they were at least expecting less significant cuts than the league did propose. And this is going to make for an awfully interesting week or 2 weeks ahead as baseball tries to figure out whether it can bridge this gap.
Here's more from Jeff Passan about the pay cuts that players are being asked to take.
Yeah, we're not sure what the exact numbers are at this point. Jesse Rogers was told that somewhere in the neighborhood of 30% of the 50% at the top end, which would leave the highest paid players around 35% of their full season salary. It's a big number. It is a haircut, no question about it. And it's something where the highest paid players, remember, tend to be the biggest stars in the game. They're also the ones who have negotiated their own contracts in free agency. And
Jeff Passan also says this was only the first proposal and the MLB and the players are going to have to meet in the middle.
My gut sage is that this is the first proposal. And we have to keep that in mind. You know, I don't think Major League Baseball was going to go to the Players Association with something that they were going to accept off the bat. There's a big gap, though, and there's a significant amount of time that they, or an insignificant amount of time, rather, that they have to go and figure this out if they want to get back out on the field in the middle of June for spring training 2.0 and at the beginning of July for games. There is a lot of ground left to be covered. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're not going to have a baseball season at this point. I think it's way too early for that, but look, both sides eventually are going to have to come to some place of agreement or we're not going to see baseball in the United States in 2020.
And finally, Jeff Passan calls this the most consequential week in MLB in the last quarter century.
But I believe this is going to be the most consequential week in Major League Baseball in the last quarter century, dating back to the 1994 strike. You know, we had 2002 where there was a question if there was going to be a strike, but ultimately there was not. Now the Major League Baseball season hangs in the balance, and it's going to come down to MLB and the Players Association figuring out how to split the revenue that they generate in 2020.
Nate, any comments on what Jeff Passan had to say?
Well, no. I mean, I'll go back to what he said about the fact that they're going to go back and forth. And at the end of the day, to me, the owners, I have to think they'll be smart enough to recognize the damage they figure to do long term to their own product if they don't get something worked out. If I'm the players, I'm not budging that much because I think that the owners will have to figure that out. If they don't, they risk damaging the product that they own, which they will continue to own going forward. You know, these players have a limited window of how much they can make off of baseball, but these owners theoretically would be making money off of baseball for the rest of their lives. And so they risk damaging their own product. And, you know, you can talk about the perception, maybe they turn all the fans against the players. Okay, great, you just turned the entire fan base against your own product. So we'll see. We'll see if that works out for them.
Another topic that was making its rounds yesterday, and Jeff Passan tweeted out about this, along with many other people, including Buster Olney, who we will talk to about this tomorrow. The Oakland A's informed minor league players yesterday that they would not continue paying them $400 a week after the end of the month. This according to sources familiar with the situation telling ESPN. Other decisions from organizations should arrive in the coming days. A bad sign to start, though. And then Jeff Passan says, just some rough math. Say there are 200 players in a minor league system paying each $400 a week for July June, July, and August is $5,200 per player. To pay every minor leaguer would have cost the Oakland A's a hair over $1 million. Owner John Fisher is worth an estimated $2 billion.
I saw somebody say that those players ought to be able to declare themselves free agents right away then, if they're not getting paid. Now the league is trying to say, well, they're like performers. If you don't have a show to perform, then you don't get paid. Well, okay, well, then you also, if you get a gig canceled at one venue, you're allowed to go book a, you know, that venue can't then say, nope, you can't book a gig at another venue. They should be free agents, right?
Well, that's not going to happen, but sure.
It's going to be, the ramifications on minor league baseball are really sad. Really sad.
Again, as Jake talked about, this is perception. This is also a game of public perception and how things appear to be progressing, and they don't appear to be progressing. But as you said, there's some time. Although there's not as much time as people think. The clock is ticking right now. I mean, we're in the last few days of May. We're almost to June. And it just appears like nothing is settled and things are getting even more contentious between the owners and the players. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I know a lot of people are talking about PEDs and cheating in sports after the Lance Armstrong documentary episode one dropped on Sunday night on ESPN. And after episode two on the Lance Armstrong subject, ESPN will have the Bruce Lee documentary, but then a documentary on the summer chase to break Roger Maris's record with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, so there'll be more talk of cheating. And so now, again, shockwaves go through the sports world last night as more cheating has been uncovered. So Jake was furious with this, and he said that there'll be many ramifications, at least from him, and the way he approaches horse racing. Two horses from the barn of two-time Triple Crown winning trainer Bob Baffert have tested positive for a banned substance, according to multiple reports. So now we'll have to examine the body of work from one of the horses to test positive was named is named Charlatan. He's an undefeated colt considered to be a top contender for the Belmont Stakes on June 20th. Charlatan won a split decision of the Arkansas Derby back on May 2nd. The other horse was, I believe, Gammon or Jamine or I don't know, Gammon. G-A-M-I-N-E, a three-year-old filly who won at Oaklawn in the same year, on the same day.
Jamine, I believe.
Jamine, is that what they
think?
Okay,
so.
Great. Jamine. Well, the newspaper said both horses tested positive for lidocaine. Jake, do you have any comments on lidocaine, which is a regulated anesthetic widely used in equine medicine? Do you have any?
Well, no.
Nothing to say about lidocaine.
You shouldn't use it. It's against the rules.
Maybe like Lance Armstrong, the horses just rubbed some cream on their butts.
Maybe.
And that's what caused positive tests.
Creamy butts?
These horses will do anything to win.
That's right. Win at all costs.
Right. And they don't care. They don't care what the fans think. They're just...
It's the competitive nature.
Right.
You know? Looking for every edge.
No one at the Arkansas Racing Commission was reachable after hours on Tuesday. Likely story.
It's kind of disgusting, though, when you think about it.
What, the Arkansas?
No. Drugging horses up.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, if you're an athlete, you're making the decision to do it to yourself, and these horses don't have, they're not having any choice. They're just getting stuck in the butt with needles.
So you don't think the horse is asking for it?
I mean,
if anything, they're saying nay.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Yes.
I just, you know.
It's one thing if you choose to stick a needle in your ass. If you're not asking for it and you get it anyway, that's where you draw the line.
Right. That's right. It's unethical. It's against the rules.
How does this affect your desire to wager on some of the races coming up?
Oh, it nothing. Zero. Has no effect whatsoever.
Nope. Really?
I mean, you know.
Well, you're not betting on those two horses, right? Because they're suspended, aren't they?
I imagine.
That's going to affect the way you bet right
unless
there.
Unless they appeal it. Right. Those horses have appeal processes.
Yeah, that's what they got right to too. Have them testify. That's right. That was going on here.
They might misremember something. See?
Maybe somehow they could try to win in the court of public opinion. They could have a close confidant like John Elway represent them and keep one of their yes. Hands. Or not, you know. I don't know if you'd be interested in doing that, but I'm interested in taking a break now for that story. That's enough horsing around on this show. I can promise you that.
Yep.
When we come back, we will. But I thought that was a story that Jake would like to sink his teeth into, and so. You know, if I keep dangling these carrots, maybe. Not a joke. Not a joke. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to. We'll just move away from the horses is what we'll do. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, let's hear from a couple of ESPN analysts. Here we have ESPN NHL analyst Barry Melrose, and here he talks about NHL players and owners coming together.
Well, I guess they're just trying to make the best possible deal that they can make, whether whenever they play, whoever they play. Obviously, the NHL players want to play. That was very evident when they got along so well with the owners. You know, they've got the four bottom teams that are going to play. It's unique. It's a unique idea. It's something that had to happen if it was going to work. I applaud the owners and I applaud the players for coming together at such a short notice to get this thing done. And hopefully we'll be looking for hockey and we'll be looking for the Stanley Cup hockey.
Let's go to the third clip from Barry Melrose. Here we talked a little bit about the proposed playoff format. Here he says he loves the playoff format being discussed.
Well, I'm in favor of it. I love hockey. I love people that love hockey. I think it's a good idea. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't safe. I think it's going to be a good battle. I think there's going to be some great competition. I think there's going to be some great upsets. Whenever you play in games like they're going to do in the first round, there will be upsets. 16 will be to 4, things like that. 16 will be to 1, things like that. So it's going to be a very, very exciting time for the next few weeks for the NHL deciding how all this thing is going to happen.
Now ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski was on ESPN radio yesterday, and here he says not everyone will be happy, but we'll trust Adam Silver.
Listen, in theory it should be. The difference, I think, Will, compared to what you're seeing in baseball versus the NBA, and even I think the relationship in football between the Players Association and the league and owners and the commissioner, is while there are a lot of divergent agendas and preferences to this, I think that in the end, teams are advocating for what might make sense for them. I do think there's a greater sense in the NBA right now that in the end, almost everyone's not going to like some part of this. There'll be some who don't like a lot of it. But I don't sense that there will be such pushback in the end. Almost all of these constituencies are going to allow Adam Silver in the league office to make the case for what he thinks is best.
And here, Woj says that the NBA tournament will be more than 16 teams.
16 plus. Now, whether that's we have 20 teams or 24 teams, I don't think it's going to just be, I don't think it's, I think it's unlikely it's 30, and I think it's unlikely that it's just 16. I think there's something in between that brings teams back, lets them have some games that essentially be treated as play-in games or pool play, and that might be the middle ground where there's enough, the teams you're bringing back feel like they have a chance to get in the playoffs, and it's reason enough for them to go through a month of training camp and quarantine to come back and try to make a run at it.
Nate, any comments on what Barry Melrose or Adrian Wojnarowski had to say?
Well, I like the idea of expanding the playoff format in the NBA a little bit since the season got cut short. For one thing, that makes up some games that you lost. For another thing, it maybe settles the grievance of some of the teams that felt like, hey, we were about to make a push. We could have gotten into the playoffs if we had been able to finish out the season. I don't think anybody's going to complain about an expanded playoff format. So I like that idea, 20 to 24 teams, something like that, and get a tournament going. I thought it was very significant what he said about, look, there's going to be things that people don't like about all these plans. NHL. And Major League Baseball, MLS, NBA, there's going to be things people don't like. At the end of the day, to me, it comes down to whether or not the owners in these leagues can adequately address enough of the healthcare situations and, more importantly, pay the guys enough money where they feel like it's worth their while to go play. And if they do that, then I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for, oh, I don't like this format. I don't like this. I don't like that. Do you want to play? Like, do you love the sport? Do you want to play? Now, look, I'm not going to sit there and tell them what they should play for. That's up to those guys. It's not my right to tell a guy, hey, you should take 50% pay cut and go play and be happy about it. You don't do that to people. I wouldn't tell you guys, hey, take a 50% pay cut and be happy and shut up. You know, I mean, like, it's just, that's the agreement they got to come to. But if the money's right, I really kind of don't. I would be really disappointed if they let other stuff. Well, this isn't the way I want it to be. You think that the world is the way any of us want it to be right now? Like, we all are going to have to deal with stuff we don't want to deal with for a long time, probably. So, you know, the owners just got to make it worth their while. And I think in every one of those sports, if the owners make it worth their while financially, these guys will play.
We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me tell you, I'm under a lot of pressure right now because normally we only have about 20 to 30 seconds to sign off TV, but Jake excitedly gets on the microphone and tells me in my ear right when we're getting ready to come back from break, you've got 90 seconds to get off. Make it happen. Look, man.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know who the hell you think you are telling me what to do like that.
Yes. But
90 seconds is a long time, buddy. I don't like it.
You got to finish. You have about 45 seconds to finish. Mike Boddicker
hey,
next.
Hey, thank goodness, everyone. It's 10 o'clock. Show's over.
No,
I'm going to go back to bed. Thank
nope.
you.
No, uh-uh.
No, just 7.
Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been good. This has been like a Google Hangout. Thank you. Lots of fun. Lots of fun to be had. Back after this. I think on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Did I make it?
You did it. You got off.